Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to Psalm 139, and we'll be quick. But Psalm 139, we're in a series of messages called Nailed It is the series. Nailed It. We are nailing down some biblical truths, convictions to steady our hearts and our minds and our souls in those times of life when the storms of life come rolling in. There are just some truths you need to have nailed down in your heart of hearts. We started with God is good. The goodness of God. You need to know that you know it in advance. And then we talked about God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. God is in control. Your life is in His hands. Today I want you to nail down that God is near. God is near in your life. Now you've heard of the omnis of God. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. God is omnipresent. That is to say, God is everywhere at once. You and I, we can only be in one place at one time, but God is in all places at all times. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about His omnipresence. We're talking about His immanence. That is to say that God is near, He is present, He is aware, He is involved. He is near in your life, present in your life, and in an involved way. In Psalm 139, this whole psalm is really kind of a snapshot of God's nearness. And for sake of time, we won't read it all. But in Psalm 139, you see that God knows everything about you. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. He knows what your needs are before you even know you have a need. And then move down to verse 7. Down in verse 7, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And the psalmist kind of goes through this list of hypothetical situations that might separate me from the presence of God. And then he just has to cross them off the list. For example, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. So on your outline, God is with you wherever you go. God is with you in death. He says, even if I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, you're there. And what we know from the New Testament is that death does not separate the Christian from the Lord. Death brings you into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with Him. So even in death, your hand will lead me. And then God is with you in distance, we just read in verses 9 and 10. God is with you in distance. You can't go anywhere and escape the presence of God. He's always there. He's near. And then God is with you in the darkness, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. God is with you in death, in distance, in darkness. That's literal darkness. The day and the night are the same to the Lord. But it's also a symbolic darkness or a metaphorical darkness. In the dark night of the soul, when your heart is broken, when you are grieving, when you are fearful, when you are despairing, God is there. God is with you. None of these things takes you out of the presence of God. And then if you keep reading the psalm, you find out that God has a plan for you. He formed you. He ordained your days. He will search you. He will know you. And He will lead you in the way everlasting. All that is just a snapshot of the immanence of God. God is near. God is present. Now, what are some of the practical implications of this in our lives? To know that God is near. You remember we said that you need to know that God is good. And it's easy to say that when life is good. But you need to nail it down when life is good, because there will come days when you wonder, is God really good? If God is so good, why am I going through this? It's kind of like that with God is near. You need to know God is near, because there will come days in your life when you wonder, where's God? Why has God forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You may ask that question on occasion. So nail it down that God is with you. Now, what does this look like in our lives, knowing that God is with us? Well, one, God's presence fortifies us. It fortifies us. It gives us strength and courage and allays our fears. It fortifies us. Let me just throw some Bible at you. Just listen. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So Moses is telling the people of Israel as they go into the land of promise, don't be afraid, be courageous, God is with you. He goes on to say, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, the Lord is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God is with me, I will not be shaken. We love Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That is to say, any kind of harm, any kind of calamity, any disaster, I will not be afraid. Why? Because thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with us. In Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God told Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you ever been somewhere by yourself where it's kind of creepy and scary? Maybe out in the woods and you're alone, or you're in some big old building all by yourself, or walking down an empty street at night and man, the hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up. This is creeping me out. On the other hand, if you have somebody with you, you're not scared at all. Just having somebody with you just takes the fear away. My friend, you don't have to be afraid because God is with you. His presence fortifies us. It gives us courage. I do not have to be afraid. I will not be shaken. God is with me. It fortifies us. Secondly, his presence helps us. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 41, God told Isaiah, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed help? Surely so. I mean, we all have. You need help moving something. You couldn't move by yourself. Or maybe you're on the side of the road with car trouble and now you need some help. Or maybe you had a problem you couldn't solve by yourself and you needed help to solve the problem. There are times in your life where you just need help. And the more desperately you need help, the more you appreciate the help when it shows up. Well, we all need human help from time to time. We need somebody to come alongside and give assistance. There are going to be times in your life when you need God's help. And the good news is, God is a very present help in time of trouble. He is there. He is there to help us. We saw a couple of weeks ago that God sustains us. We talked about his sustaining grace. He provides the resources we need right when we need those resources. He gives patience when we need patience. He gives strength when we need strength. He gives courage when we need courage. He gives faith when we need faith. God is there. He sustains us. He sustains us. He upholds us with his righteous right hand. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thirdly, his presence invites us to prayer. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked. That is to say, he doesn't listen to the prayers of the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord is near. His nearness, his imminence, his presence invites us to call on him in prayer. He's there, ready to hear, ready to respond. Hebrews tells us, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. His presence comforts us as well. His presence comforts us. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. In John 14, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians, Paul calls God the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. There's a precious promise in the book of James. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. When you need comfort, when your heart is breaking, when you're brokenhearted, when you are filled with sorrow, you draw near to God and you will know the comfort of God. His presence brings comfort. And then his presence enables us. enables us to do what he wants us to do. In Joshua 1, Moses has died. Now God is going to use Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the land of promise and to conquer the land of Canaan. It's going to be a military campaign. So now Joshua is in command, and God tells Joshua in Joshua 1, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Then God goes on to say in that same chapter, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, God's presence is not a guarantee that you'll be able to do all the things that you want to do. Maybe I just want to achieve a certain career success, or I want to have a title or a position or a rank, or I want to make this kind of a money, or I want to live in this kind of a house. God might not be interested in that at all. That may not be God's will at all for my life. But anything that God wants me to do, God's presence is a guarantee. He will enable me to do what he wants me to do. God told Joshua, "I'm with you. Be strong, courageous. I'm going to use you, and we're going to do this together. Be strong and courageous." In Psalm 46, you hear this drumbeat, God is with us, God is with us, and God is with us. God will help us. And he goes on to say, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God's going to get his will accomplished. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore," you know, "since all authority is mine, therefore, go as you go. Going, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you as you go, making disciples, baptizing and teaching them. I am with you. I will enable you. God's presence guarantees that we can live victoriously, that we can share the gospel, that we can make disciples, that we can glorify God, all these things. Well, God's presence warns us as well. It warns us. It's Proverbs 5:21, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Proverbs 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God's presence, knowing that God is near, God is with me, God is watching, God is aware, God is involved, that's a comfort and it's an encouragement. At the same time, it's also something of a deterrent. When I might be tempted to do something I should not do, it's good to remember, you know what, God is near, and God is aware, and God is watching. Or when I am doing something I shouldn't be doing, it's a good reminder, you're not hiding anything from God. God is near. God is watching. All things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, we all do better when we know we're accountable, when someone is watching, when the camera is rolling. We all do better. We act differently. Well, God is near. That should help us. And then God's presence satisfies us. His presence satisfies us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Isn't that an odd combination? Don't love money. Be content, because God's with you. Isn't that strange? But here's how this works. If you love money, you will never be satisfied, because the love of money always wants more. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller Sr. one time, one of the richest men in the world at the time, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough?" This guy was obscenely wealthy. "How much money is enough?" And he said, "Just a little bit more." It's never enough. You're always just $1 away from being happy. You just need a little bit more. If you love stuff, if your life is measured by material things, you'll never be satisfied with what you have, because you always want something else. No matter what you have and how much you have, you always want something else. Something new, something shinier, something improved, something somebody else has, or something nobody else has. You always want more, more, more. But when you're satisfied with the Lord, you don't love money, you don't love stuff, you can be satisfied with Him, knowing He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is present. He is with you. And when you have the Lord, it doesn't really matter what you don't have. If you don't have the Lord, it really doesn't matter what you do have if you don't have the Lord. He satisfies us. And then His presence blesses us. His presence blesses us. In Psalm 16:11, "You will make known to me the path of life. Your presence is fullness of joy." Do you get that? Your presence, the nearness of God, is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Joy, life, peace are found in the presence of God. That's where you find true life, true joy, true pleasure, true happiness. It's all in the presence of God. And really, that's the promise and the hope of heaven, is the very presence of God. Revelation 21, John says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." The hope of heaven, what makes heaven heaven, is that's where God is. In His presence, that's heaven. That's what makes heaven heaven. The Lord is near. Nail it down. His imminence. God is present. He is aware. He is near. He is involved. He knows and He cares. God is near. Again, when life is good, it's easy to say that. Yeah, I believe that's true. I think God is near. Well, nail it down in the good times, because there will be occasions in your life when you'll wonder, where's God? Why am I going through this? Where's God? Nail it down. Well, all the things we've been talking about are for Christians. This is true for the believer. This is what the presence of God means for the one who knows Christ. But we just read a moment ago that the Lord is far from the wicked. Without Christ, you don't know the imminence of God. You don't experience it. You don't experience these benefits and the results of God's nearness. He's still omnipresent, but you'll have no experience of that. You have to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." The only way you can know the presence of God is by coming through His Son, Jesus Christ. You repent and put your faith and trust in Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we've broken God's laws. Your sins have separated between you and your God and have hidden His face so that He does not hear. But if you'll repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for us, He'll forgive your sins, save your soul, make you a child of God. And God will make His abode with you. In other words, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I and the Father will make our abode with that one who loves us, who follows us, obeys us. We'll make our abode with him." In other words, you can know and live and experience the presence of God. Have you been saved? If not, that's your greatest need this morning. And we invite you in a moment. We'll stand up and sing our hymn of decision. I invite you to come to me and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I want to be saved," however you want to say it. We'd love to talk with you privately, pray with you if you'd like to. But you can leave here today a child of God. Say yes to Jesus Christ. If you are saved, praise the Lord. He is near. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise, your imminence, that you are near. You are present. You are with us, that you never leave us and never forsake us. We thank you for what this means in our lives day by day. God, for the one who's never been saved, I pray that you'd help them to hear and know they need Jesus Christ. They must be born again, and bring them to the cross even now. Take charge of this time of decision. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.